Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our study today on doctrine in the New Testament, looking specifically at Jesus and doctrine, and we are beginning our study in Matthew. This is where we focused for the beginning of this study, looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. And again, in these two verses, we looked at what the scripture says about Jesus and his doctrine, and also the response of the people to Jesus and his teaching and his authority or his power. And then we looked at the scribes and the role that the scribes and the religious leaders play in terms of the scripture and interpretation and teaching or instruction. So we looked at Jesus and his relationship to the people and his doctrine, and the scribes and their relationship with the people and their doctrine. And this includes the religious groups as well, or the religious leaders as well. We also took a look at the relationship that existed between Jesus and the religious leaders, and really highlighting the hostility and the resistance on the part of the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, the high priests, the various religious factions of the day. So at this juncture, I just want to read a little from Jeremiah, various scriptures from Jeremiah concerning pastors, and speak a little to this, and then go back into focusing again on what is communicated concerning the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So I want to call your attention to what the Lord says about pastors in Jeremiah, and I'm going to start at Jeremiah 2 and 8. I'll be reading from the King James Version, and it says, "The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit." And the reason I want to call your attention to this is because I really want us to recognize that instruction or doctrine, teaching, and the roles and responsibilities that existed in relation to instructing or teaching God's people is not just something that came about during the New Testament. This has been what the Lord has always required of those who he charged with leading his people. And leading his people is done, or it is communicated through instruction and example. So this is the emphasis that the Lord has always placed on those who, again, have this responsibility among the people of God. So this portion in Jeremiah, again, highlights what the Lord is saying in relation to those who had the responsibility of knowing and instructing and living or encouraging God's people to follow the word or the instruction that comes from God, and to live accordingly, to live as God's people. But here in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8, this highlights that the pastors have rebelled. They've turned away. They've rebelled against God. And the priests are not calling on the Lord. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. And again, it says, walked after things that do not profit. So those things that are vain and useless. And this highlights the climate or the culture and the way that the Lord responds to his people And his people's response to his word, more specifically, the way that his people reject him and his word, or reject his word and him. They are, again, they go hand in hand when you speak about the Lord and his word, who he is and what he says are inseparable. So when we consider this, it draws our attention to, or I'm trying to draw our attention to, what the Lord has to say concerning those who have the responsibility for tending to his flock, that is the flock of God, for either ruling over his flock, feeding his flock, pastoring his flock, that is the flock of God. So this is what was happening here in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8, and this is what the Lord had to say about it again. So in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, he says again, the Lord, that is, he says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." So the Lord is speaking of the pastors that he will give according to his desire, those who are approved by God to tend to his flock, or to tend his flock, to pasture his flock, to rule over, or to keep his flock. And when we say rule, we don't mean ruling in the sense of lording over God's flock. We mean having authority as it relates to communicating the word of God, and as an extension of the Lord himself. So this is what we have to keep in mind when we speak of the roles that pastors have. And so this is why it is important to understand here in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, that when the Lord says that he will give pastors for his people and to his people, it highlights here, what is it that they will do? And he says, again, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So when we consider this, you know, in light of what we're looking at in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, and again, considering how the people are responding to Jesus and his doctrine, and how it is so different, or it is a contrast, both Jesus and his doctrine are a contrast as it relates to the scribes or the religious leaders, and how they taught, because Jesus, again, is teaching with God's approval, and therefore his authority or his power is legitimate because he is approved not only in terms of being the messenger of God, but also the Son of God. But this is consistent, again, with those who the Lord commissions to feed his people and to give his people knowledge and understanding according to the truth of God's word, and because God's word is true. So this is what I'm trying to emphasize from what the Lord has said here in Jeremiah, and to understand the context here in Jeremiah also brings a little more understanding, I hope, to what we're looking at in the New Testament concerning not just Jesus and his doctrine, but doctrine period, and those who teach or instruct God's people. And then looking at Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21, where the word of God says, "For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." So consider this when we speak of doctrine, and when we consider the time that we're looking at in the ministry of Jesus Christ and his teaching, his instruction, and how different it is to the scribes and religious leaders and how they instruct. Consider this that is communicated here in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21. As it relates to the pastors and the way that they have abandoned God, and therefore the repercussions or the result of this is that the flocks are scattered. So, in other words, when we fail to properly teach and properly feed or properly tend to God's flock, then the result is a scattered flock. And this doesn't mean that this doesn't mean that there won't be numbers. I mean, the sheep can still graze. It's just a question of what are the sheep grazing on. And this is what I'm trying to emphasize. This is not always demonstrated in numbers. So in other words, you can still have a large flock, but they can be scattered as it relates to truth. They can be scattered as it relates to actually following God. And that's what's actually happening in the book of Jeremiah. And this is why the judgment of God came. So again, consider this in the context of doctrine, and more specifically, consider this in the context of Jesus and doctrine, and how it was so contrary during his earthly ministry to the teaching of those who are the scribes and the Pharisees in particular, and the religious leaders during this time. So as we continue to consider what the Lord is saying in Jeremiah, I'm calling your attention now to Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 10, where again, the word of the Lord says, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Now think about that. The pastors, just in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21, it says the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord, therefore they should not prosper, and their flocks shall be scattered. So one, you don't call pastors or provide pastors to scatter flocks. You call pastors to gather flocks and to feed and to graze and to tend to or pasture the flock. So when you see that the pastors are not fulfilling the role that they are called to fulfill, this is what happens concerning the flock. And then the Lord then puts it in the context in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 10, of destroying the vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. So again, this highlights the destructive nature of those who should be tending to God's flock, but are actually destroying his flock. And what is it tied to? It is tied to the teaching. It is tied to instruction. And that's why when we look to Jeremiah 3:15, what did the Lord say? He's going to give pastors for what purpose? Or what are they going to do? They're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Well, where is that knowledge and understanding coming from? Well, it's coming from God, because God is giving the pastors. God is also giving the pastors for his purpose. So if they are God's pastors, then they will fulfill God's purpose. And this is to feed God's flock. So this has to do with knowledge and understanding. And this comes through instruction, and more specifically, instruction according to the word of God. So as we look then in Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 22, it says, the wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. So who's at the front of this as it relates to this judgment that the Lord speaks of in Jeremiah 22, 22? The pastors. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors. So this is because the message that is being communicated from the pastors is not according to God. And therefore, the pastors are not according to God. They are not instructing according to God's truth, God's word. They are not representing God properly, and they are not shepherding his flock. So we see this, and we can certainly make this connection to our time as well. And, you know, this has everything to do with doctrine, teaching, and instruction. So Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. So we see again, you know, how the pastors now have this this warning of doom concerning their role in destroying and scattering the sheep of God's pasture. And then it goes on in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. So we see, again, this contrary nature of the pastors and how important it is to understand the role that the pastors play as it relates to God's flock, and emphasis once again on God's flock, or the flock of God. The sheep belong to the Lord, and it's important for pastors to understand that as we teach and preach, as we instruct or communicate doctrine to God's people, we must do it in line with God's word. And this is what God calls us to. And this is why there was such a contrast in the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. His instruction was truth. It was according to truth. And as Jesus said concerning himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, or but by me. So, you know, we understand that Jesus and everything that he said and did, he said and did according to truth, because he himself is truth. And he represents the Father in truth. He worships the Father in truth. This is what he communicated, and this is what he demonstrated again in his teaching and in his life. He was all about glorifying God. And sometimes we don't really understand the magnitude of glorifying God, and not just in a segment of time on Sunday, but as it relates to what's being taught, what's being communicated, what is the doctrine of the church, and how are we living, and how are we responding to the instruction? What type of instruction are we receiving? What type of instruction are we communicating? What type of instruction are we living according to? So this has everything to do with doctrine. Love, relationships, fellowship, all of this has to do with doctrine, because God said so. So this is the point of emphasis that I'm making here. And then I'm going to call your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, as it relates to pastors and teachers as communicated in the New Testament. And this speaks about Christ when he gave gifts to all concerning the church. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, as is pointed out in Ephesians chapter 4, and gave gifts to men. So this is how it's worded in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 in the King James Version. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So again, what we're highlighting here are the pastors and teachers within this context, and for the purpose of this study, pointing out again, what does it mean that he gave some pastors and teachers? He gave some shepherds, that's the pastor, and instructors, that's the teacher. So he gave those who are to shepherd and instruct. And it again reminds us of how important it is, because this points out that Jesus gave these gifts for the church, and it speaks to the purpose for which he gave these gifts, where it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is the purpose. This is the role that we serve in till we all come into the unity of the faith. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 now. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And we'll look at this again when we continue, if the Lord allows, as we continue this study on doctrine in the New Testament. We're going to focus more on this portion of scripture when we get to this point in our study. But again, I just want you to see that this is why God gives pastors and teachers, and this is the role that Jesus Christ had. It's about the teaching. It's about the instruction. It's about the truth. And this is why God gives pastors and teachers. This is why God sent his son. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world and to rise again from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures. And this is the emphasis that we place on the scriptures in relation to Jesus Christ. This is what our doctrine is about. It is about teaching about Christ for who he is and what he's done and according to what he taught. So many people speak of Jesus, and including churches speak of Jesus, but they don't honor or glorify or submit to him for who he is. To say his name is not the same as recognizing or acknowledging or confessing him as Lord. To say his name, to recite his teaching is not the same as heeding and obeying his teaching. So it's very important for us to understand that many people talking about Jesus, but they're not talking about the same Jesus. And Dr. Charles Swindoll, he had a book, Growing Deep in the Christian Life, I think it is, where he speaks about one time during Christmas, there were, you know, supposedly Jesus dolls in a window at a store. And this was after Christmas. And they wanted to get rid of these quote unquote Jesus dolls. And the sign read Jesus 50% off. You know, you can get Jesus for 50% off because Christmas is over and we have these Jesus dolls and we got to sell them. So that's how so many people speak of Jesus, and how they refer to him is they want to take away from his doctrine. They love the miracles, or they love some of the sayings, some of the teachings, but there's a difference in, acknowledging some of the things that you like or that you prefer and submitting to the authority of Jesus's words, his teaching, his doctrine, his person, the authority of Jesus himself, the Christ, the Son of God, our risen Lord and Savior, Lord of heaven and earth. So it's you know, there's a difference between just repeating things and reciting things and actually hearing and obeying. And Jesus speaks to that as well. So Lord willing, you know, at some point we will get to that also. So my intent, you know, wasn't really to bog us down with this one portion of scripture in Jeremiah, but I just wanted us to really see how seriously the Lord himself takes the role of pastors and teachers, those who are to shepherd and tend to his flock. And I think it would do us well to take heed to the warnings that he has issued throughout his word, both Old and New Testament. So as we continue on with the study now, looking at Matthew, back at Matthew, when we get to Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, we have the response of the people to the teaching of Jesus. So now what I want to do is take a look at what he actually taught up to this point. Now, many of you may be familiar with this and understand it, that as we look at verses 5 through 7, that it's referred to as the commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And this has to do with the collection of Jesus's teaching, his teachings, his sayings during this sermon, if you will. And it says that this is the longest continuous discourse of Jesus found in the New Testament. So he teaches from verses chapters 5-7 here in Matthew. And this is where we have a lot of his words quoted by others. And again, it's so important for us to understand, just because somebody appreciates the Sermon on the Mount and the teachings of Jesus doesn't mean that they obey or agree or submit to the authority of his doctrine. Okay, so it's very important for us to understand that, because many people twist the words of Jesus, or they do not submit to the authority of his word, which is to not submit to the authority of his person. I'm going to keep on re-emphasizing that. If you reject the word of Christ, you reject Christ. If you reject Christ, you reject the word of Christ. If you reject either or both, then you reject both and God, the Father. So it's a no-win rejecting Jesus or his doctrine, because you reject, in turn, you reject God. So this Sermon on the Mount is about the tenets of Christian discipleship. It also really emphasizes life in the kingdom life, and what it means to live according to the kingdom of God. And we'll speak again a little bit more about that as the Lord permits. And in the Beatitudes, which start this out, which really start off this, what's described as a Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitude, if you've heard that, that means to be blessed. It means to be supremely blessed, if you will. So it's supreme blessedness to be well off, to be in a state of supreme happiness or heavenly. So these are the blessings that Jesus is going to start out with when he gives his teachings or his doctrine on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what we're going to focus on as we move forward. So if you hear that word, the Beatitudes, you know, it means to be supremely blessed or supremely happy, well off, most fortunate. Okay. And this is what Jesus is calling our attention to here in Matthew, starting here in the fifth chapter. So this is what the people responded to. And what Jesus says here in Matthew, going back to Matthew chapter 5, as this is together, Matthew chapters 5-7. We start out at chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. And then it goes on to say, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So he is going to teach them. He is actually going to communicate words here. So that's the purpose of this setting and what our Lord Jesus is doing here on this mountain. Okay, he went up, he sat down, his disciples came unto him, he opened his mouth, and he taught them. Consider this, okay? Consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I'm going to call your attention to here as we proceed with this study. So when we look at Jesus and he brings and teaches during this discourse, during this sermon about heavenly hope and the heavenly kingdom, he talks about the conditions and the promises. That is the state of the kingdom, its appearance, its order, if you will. And he speaks of the circumstances of kingdom life that affect the way that we live or the way that we work or our well-being, you know, our how we live this out, okay, according to his teaching. So we're going to stop here for now, and if the Lord wills, then we will resume and pick up here with the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and Matthew chapter 5 when we meet again. Until the next time, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.